Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, they bring you the great interviews and all the guests that we have on the program each and every time. Paul Emig being one of those great guests. Paul, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bill, doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you texted it to me today. I had seen the Aaron Nagler tweet regarding Aaron Rodgers' comments. Many people tweeted it to me or sent it to me and said, "Uh-oh," or "Here we go again," or that's kind of the initial reaction. So now that you've had a chance to kind of think about it and read it and such, give me your thoughts.
Okay, so there's a couple of things going on here. I mean, it's impossible to ignore the instant reaction, which is, I think, for most people, myself included, and you said, like, "Here we go again. Oh boy." It's difficult to read it and not kind of think, you know, that there's an ego that needs to be put in check. And I think, and I'm not one of the people that fears, you know, that a 39-year-old head coach can't rein in the 35-year-old superstar quarterback. I don't believe that. I think Matt LaFleur can and will be able to. But if you read just that isolated quote, it's a bad look. I just don't know how most people would disagree that it's a bad look. And the funny thing is I'm not even saying Rodgers is wrong.
Right. Which is exactly what I said a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay, great. I mean, that's so we're on the same page. Rodgers isn't wrong. He does have 11 years of doing it. He is one of the best people to ever do it. It's not quite at that Peyton Manning peak level when he was doing it in Indianapolis, but it's just, you know, a next small step down from that. So it's not bad. Rodgers isn't wrong, but it's not a good look either, if that makes sense.
I would agree with you. I said the same thing. I said, look, he should have some freedom. He should be able to look at matchups. He should be able to see things that will work, or more so things that may not work, and be able to opt out of that. But I would have said, I would have said, after the Bleacher Report article and everything that came out, I would have said something to the effect of, hey, we're getting on the same page, and it's been a great exchange of ideas.
Right.
You know?
Yes. And, you usually want to include in kind of a quote like that, you don't want to add to the fuel by the fire and saying, like, well, it's not a humble brag, it's just a fact.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think, and that's what he said. I think there's a way to communicate the message Rodgers is attempting to communicate it and probably handle it in a better way. And the thing is Rodgers is always so careful. Like, he's a very, you know, his thoughts are very rarely off the cuff. It's mid-June. It's not like this is like maybe like a power struggle situation or anything else. And by the time they actually get out on the field and start doing this stuff, you know, even in preseason, much less, of course, more importantly, the regular season, it'll all sort itself out. I just think my assumption would be if Rodgers could have a do-over on the way he phrased it, I'm guessing he would like a mulligan on that. Just because again, there's ways to say it. He's absolutely not wrong. He should have say. He does. He is one of the best to ever do it at the line of scrimmage. But it kind of gives some people that deja vu feeling of, here we go again. This is what got Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers' offense to become what it was, which is not as good as it had been in previous years. And as Rodgers got more and more power at the line of scrimmage, the offense struggled more and more. Are those two things directly related and correlated? Probably not. I mean, there was fewer weapons and there were other things going on, and Rodgers was hurt, and, you know, McCarthy's offense had become stagnant. There's a lot of factors, but I just don't think it's a great look, and probably not the quote that you want to have hanging out here now for the next 6 weeks as the players head off to, you know, their off-season homes, because now they have 6 weeks off, and now this quote is going to linger now pretty much until training camp. But I just don't think it's the one that as an organization, as a franchise, you would want lingering like that for, you know, a month and a half in the middle of summer.
Well, especially coming off of the Bleacher Report. You know, I mean, it's where now you give, and again, I'm waiting for the remainder of this article to come out. Apparently, it's going to come out next week. But now I'm kind of looking at it saying, okay, let me read the context, and then I'll see what I can read or not read into it and just try to let it sink in. And then after that, like you said, we've got then 5 weeks to discuss where this team is at. And I'm sure there's going to be people trying to track down Matt LaFleur. What do you think of your quarterback saying he wants power? Why would you not allow him to have this? So for those that want Aaron to be able to say, yeah, you're right, you should have the ability to change things at the line of scrimmage, you're going to have that side of the camp. And then the other side of the camp is going to be, hey, Matt LaFleur, do you already feel undermined by your quarterback?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. And that's why, I mean, again, like you said, the rest of the article will give it some additional context. I just don't think it was phrased in a way that, you know, for people, and again, because you, like you said, I mean, it's already been a pretty interesting offseason, and articles about, you know, especially the Tyler Dunn one and Bleacher Report, like you've mentioned, being the big one. But, you know, you don't want to seem, I wouldn't want to seem, if I was in his, I don't think you would want to seem even like remotely in this situation where, you know, because the context at the moment is missing and everything else, like, you know, and I think part of it too is, and this is kind of something that's been prevalent throughout this off-season work and minicamp and everything, is that LaFleur is dead set, and this is a whole other topic, but it ties into this one. He's dead set on running the ball more. So that, you know, a lot of people, myself included, think that's a good thing. And I've mentioned many times about how Sean Payton eased the workload off of Drew Brees once Drew Brees reached his mid and upper late 30s. That helped Drew Brees, and like they were a terrible call, pass interference, missed call away from a Super Bowl appearance this year when Drew Brees was 40. And like, there's a lot of ways to kind of make this work. But okay, LaFleur wants to run the ball. He is making that crystal clear. What if you get into a situation week one, week two, week three, week four, and you're looking back at the first half of the season, and you know there's more pass than run, or it's a 65-35, very McCarthy-esque run-pass differential, and then you have to kind of ask yourself, like, uh-oh, you know, are these runs that LaFleur wants to call, are they being changed to passes? Is there something? Now, again, winning will cure all. No one's going to care who's calling the plays at the line of scrimmage if the Packers go 12-4. If they don't, you know, and they are a 500-esque team, this is all going to become much louder. And, again, much like Tyler Dunn's article, this is going to be something you kind of, I think, call back to, and you say, hey, remember when Rodgers said this in June? It's now part of the conversation.
Going to what happened yesterday where they did the team bonding experience, some are saying, what are they doing out there doing paintball? Look, I don't care what they do. If they have fun doing it and guys are on teams and enjoying one another, I don't know what kind of camaraderie that builds when it comes to, you know, being in the trenches when you get to Super Bowl. But I do know one thing. When you go out and have fun with your teammates and they talk about it being team bonding, whether it's leadership roles or guys that just support one another or whatever, it all has a place. And I'm all for it. Some people get too bent out of shape that they're not still out there working on football stuff. I'm all for stuff like this. So I'm glad they do what they do. I'm glad every year they pick something different. Paintball's a hell of a thing to do. I've only done it once. So I'm glad everybody came out and they have all their eyes, they have all their thumbs, they have all their fingers, and nobody got hurt, and now we're ready for football.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've done this team activity thing for a long time, and for a long time under Mike McCarthy, and it's not the first time they've gone paintballing. I don't know, Bill, how many of these players, if any, you follow on Instagram, a lot of really entertaining stuff that they posted of themselves, you know, doing the paintball stuff yesterday, but maybe I'm overly conservative. And maybe I am tainted by the fact that I watched Kevin Durant tear an Achilles and Klay Thompson tear an ACL in this week alone. I was like, oh, my God, just go bowling or something. Your head coach just tore his Achilles. Matt LaFleur did playing basketball.
Yeah.
So, like, it all went well. Nobody was hurt. But if I was, you know, again, maybe I'm overly conservative. Maybe it's because of the Durant and the Klay Thompson and the Matt LaFleur injuries. But I was like, oh boy, this, you had better come out of this with nothing.
Yeah. I just don't know what to do anymore. Everybody's so afraid of getting somebody hurt that we've become such, we're so fragile anyway. It's like, go, you know, what happened to the old days when you rub some dirt on it? You know, I mean, go ride a bike. If you fall down, you know, you fall down. It is what it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, they've done paintballing in the past. They've also done dodgeball. They've done bowling. You know, dodgeball, you can get hurt.
Right.
Too. Bowling, you're probably less likely to get hurt. I'm trying to work. They've done, I think they've done like trap shooting or skeet, something like that, haven't they? I think like back like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when I remember seeing them out in the middle of a, you know, a wooded field. But anyway, so it's, but in terms of like them not getting an extra practice in of an hour, 45 minutes of installs or some nonsense, like the team bonding stuff is good. You just want to come out of it unscathed. And they did. So, who cares? It's all good, and it provided for some good Instagram content for the players. That was for sure.
Yep, no doubt about it. Paul, always good stuff. We'll chat again next week, and don't get hurt doing anything this weekend, all right?
I'll keep it very, very casual.
Okay, talk to you soon. Paul Emig, who we hope doesn't slip under his own lawnmower. There you go, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. They've been getting it done 80-plus years. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.